With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Fans Bros Football Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Harris. With me are my two guys, Mike Tagliere and Kyle Yates. You can find us on Twitter at DanHarris80, at Mike Tagliere NFL, and at Kyle Y NFL. Gentlemen, a happy Monday to you. How are you today?
Happy Monday. You know when you realize that those moments you realize you have a pet peeve and you're like, wait a minute, this is something I need to add to the list. I had it this morning. I went to go make my daily like bagel and I went to open it. You know, you pull out of the package, you open it, and it did not open where you have to like pull it apart and then it literally broke the bagel in half. And I was quite upset. So seriously, bagel companies, if you do not if you pre-slice your bagels, make sure you pre-slice them like all the way.
To all the bagel companies that are listening.
Yeah, yes, there are a lot of them. We're very big in the bagel company industry. I do just want to know, Tags, because you said, you know, you want to add something to your list of pet peeves. Off the top of your head, do you have others that are just on your list?
I have a lot of pet peeves. I have a real pet peeve when you hold the door open for someone, like when you go into a place and that you wait there and you hold the door open for them. They don't even acknowledge you. They just kind of walk through and you're kind of like, all I wanted was a little thank you.
That's fair. That's fair. Do you yell at that person? Because that's what I would do. No. I would be like, excuse me, you owe me thank you. Excuse me. No. We live in a society. It's basically a sign. All right. Anyway, we've got waiver wire rankings to do. It's not all Tags pet peeves day or anything like that. Yeah. So look, it's week 10. We're getting down to the nitty gritty.
I'm doing good.
Here.
Thanks for asking.
Your Tags is taking the air out. It doesn't matter. You are almost entirely irrelevant right now, unless you agree with me on the waiver wire priority, in which case you will go back up to number one. But regardless, it's week 10. We've got to get into the show. Okay. No more talking. Look, do everything you can to make sure that you are winning at this point. If you are still listening in week 10, then you're at least viable for the playoffs. So you got to be doing everything that you can possibly be doing to win. You need to make tough lineup calls. We have our start sit assistant that's going to help you out right there. You need waiver wire advice tailored to your actual league. You can use our waiver assistant. Would you like to evaluate a trade? There's probably a couple more weeks before your trade deadline. Our trade analyzer is going to do it for you. Are you in too many leagues to devote adequate time to all of them? We have a multi-league assistant that lets you manage them all in one place. And our autopilot feature will automatically set your team's best lineup. All of these tools can be found in My Playbook, and you can get a premium subscription there. Guess what? Get a premium subscription, 6 months free right now. Go to fantasypros.com/offers. Make a $10 deposit to either Monkey Knife Fight, Prize Picks, FanDuel, or DraftKings. Enter a contest so you have a chance to win that money back. Once that's done, you'll get a six-month free subscription to our Hall of Fame package. That's a $65 value. Unlimited access to all our premium tools, features, and content. The offer is only available to brand new users of those sites. So if that's you, go ahead, sign up, put yourself in the best position you can to win your league. Again, that is fantasypros.com/offers. All right, guys, it is Monday. It is our usual waiver wire show. That means we're going to talk about the notable waiver wire pickups per position, starting with our running back, then wide receiver, then quarterback, then tight end, then our top five overall pickups, our top QB and DST streamers. And then we'll play, of course, drop or keep, where I'm going to give you fringe guys who we may want to drop or we'll decide to keep. Let's run through the brief news that we've got. Josh Lambeau, the Jags kicker, is out for the season. Kyle Allen is officially out for the season after his ankle injury yesterday, but he should be fine for 2021. Albert O tore his ACL, and he is out for the season. Jake Luton is likely to start next week against the Packers, no surprise after his solid performance against the Texans. Nick Chubb has been designated for return and is practicing. Guys, do you think that we are going to see him this weekend?
I do. Yep.
Yes. Wonderful. Laviska Shenault's hamstring injury appears to be minor, and he may even have a chance to play this weekend against Green Bay. Christian McCaffrey hurt his shoulder, and he is day-to-day. He may not be able to suit up Sunday. It's at least in question. Mike Davis is still rostered in almost every league. If he is somehow available in your league, go pick him up right now. Don't even listen to this podcast. Just go right now. Do it. Concussion protocols. David Montgomery and Jack Doyle. We don't know about Montgomery. We'll have to wait and see on that. But we do know almost certainly that Jack Doyle is not going to play this week because the Colts have a Thursday game. So if you're relying on Jack Doyle, you probably weren't listening to this podcast to begin with. But if you were, you're not going to be able to do so on Thursday. Okay, let's get into it. Let's start with running back. Who is your top running back pickup? You know what, Yates? I started with Tags because I usually start with Tags. I talk to Tags. I let him talk the whole time. You have yet to say a single word on this podcast. Start us off. Who's your top running back pickup of the week?
So there are a bunch of guys that I actually kind of like this waiver wire group at the running back position, but there's one guy who is a clear add. The rest are kind of like, well, if the situation breaks their way. The guy who is a clear add for me is JD McKissick. I've talked about him on this podcast previously with the waiver wire, saying that I think he needs to be added regardless because of his role as a receiver out of the backfield. Now we look at last week and 14 targets, 9 receptions, like in a full PPR format, this guy's a solid low-end running back too. So I think in a landscape right now where a lot of teams are hurting for running back, JD McKissick can be picked up and plugged in as more than a bi-week fill-in option in full PPR formats.
Yeah, crazy. 14 targets. That's not normal. Now, they were playing from behind the whole game. And of course, what probably benefits him is the fact that Alex Smith is almost certainly going to be the starter going forward. Right. Alex Smith does not like to push the ball downfield right now, especially. So that certainly is something that adds to his value. Tags, is McKissick your number one running back pickup?
He's not my number one, but I understand the sentiment behind it. And I don't disagree if you need a running back for this week and you want to play and you basically need to pick up someone. If you're still working your way through bye weeks, let's say you have Christian McCaffrey or one of the Clyde Edwards-Hilaire, one of these running backs that are on a bye this week and you need a running back, the matchup against the Lions does not get any better. It legitimately doesn't. This team has been struggling against the run. We have to dial back expectations for JD McKissick because he needs a negative game script in order for him to kind of pay massive dividends. I consider him in the range of like an RB3 flex option most of the time as a guy that can fill in through bye weeks. He's going to give you a decent floor, but if for whatever reason this team is in a neutral game script or they're out in front, which they could be against the Lions this week, we should see more of Antonio Gibson. Gibson actually got benched, and I think that's part of the reason that McKissick saw 14 targets was because Gibson fumbled early in that game. So I don't want to go all in on JD McKissick. He's my number four overall pickup, so he's not bad, but I don't think that he's like a must add, especially if you have a team that you've already made it through your bye weeks and you don't necessarily need a running back for this week.
So he's not my number one either, although the top four guys, frankly, are basically, I don't have a strong preference between them, and McKissick is in that group. I think the big thing with McKissick is that is two things, I guess. Number one is, again, yeah, I agree with that, Tags, and I'd like to hear your thoughts on this. It's, I think McKissick does really need to have that negative game script, and this was not supposed to be a game that they were playing from behind. I think they were favored in this game, right, by 2.5 points.
Yep.
So you need sort of this scenario where they're going to be behind. It's not all that unusual, but they have Detroit next, so I don't expect this necessarily to be a game where they're trying to catch up. And number two, the ceiling's just not there really for McKissick, right? So I think he fits almost exactly what Tag said, basically, which is I could definitely see him being the guy the fantasy managers prioritize if they basically are like, man, I need a fill-in at running back. If you've got a McCaffrey and you didn't have Davis, something like that to fill in. But other than that, if you're in week 10 right here and you're looking good for the playoffs and you want more upside, that's why I favor some of the other guys. Do you understand what I'm saying there?
Yeah, for sure. And I think that, yeah, the game script definitely plays a role in that. However, now partly why I have him at number one is because of Alex Smith. Like, how many games are the Washington football team going to be favored in now with Alex Smith looking the way that he did last week? And then, you know, he does favor the running back position. But then you also mentioned, like, he doesn't have much of a ceiling. In full PPR formats, here's J.D. McKissick's last several games. Going back to week four, he was the RB32. Again, this is in full PPR. 27, 12, 35, and then 3 this week. So, granted, we still have a game to play tonight, but we can all sit here and say that it's doubtful that any of these running backs are going to finish up within the top three. So, J.D. McKissick, I think he does have a ceiling. Granted, 14 targets, we can't comfortably rely on that and project that every single week. Yep. But I think that in a full PPR format, he can actually be really, really reliable.
Yeah, I think it's fair if you confine it to full PPR format in particular, because he does always get the passing down work. You can't expect 14 targets, 9 catches every week. But it is fair to say that in PPR, he is somebody you can kind of roll out there fairly confidently, at least as a flex option.
Well, to be fair, those two big weeks that he had were both against the Giants. Just want to point that out.
It all counts. No.
I know that, but unfortunately, he doesn't get to play the Giants every week.
Well, maybe we can talk to the NFL schedule makers and arrange that just for fantasy managers who are taking Yates' advice and spending 90% of their remaining fab budget on J.D. McKissick. Yates, what is your fab recommendation?
At 12 to 15%. So it depends. Okay. Obviously, if you need a running back, I'm not saying break the bank for McKissick, but if you need a running back and you need a depth piece, I mean, he's available on a lot of waiver wires.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's out there everywhere. Because fantasy, there's just been no real upside. And again, make a fair point. In PPR formats, it's a little different. But Tags, let's get to you. Who's your number one running back pickup this week?
I mean, it's not sexy. It's still Jordan Wilkins. It's the same reason we talked about Jordan Wilkins last week. I mean, you're playing behind a good offensive line. He's been elusive, a lot more elusive than Jonathan Taylor. Taylor was benched this week. It already came out that he was benched this week for fumbling. He had one touch in the second half after starting the game as the starter. So it was like they were going back to him. And then Frank Reich came out today and said, I still have a level of confidence in Jonathan Taylor. What does that mean? I have a level of confidence in my dog. That doesn't mean that I'm going to trust him with anything.
I trust my dog with everything, just to be clear. But that's fine.
Yeah, go ahead. So,
you do you. So,
Nyheim Hines is a guy that he's not really involved in the run game at all. So if Jonathan Taylor is actually falling behind Jordan Wilkins, there's a reason that people wanted to start. They wanted to draft Jonathan Taylor. They wanted to draft Marlon Mack because they wanted the starting running back for the Indianapolis Colts. So if Jordan Wilkins is that guy, I think it's worth the upside to grab him. The matchup this week is on Thursday against Tennessee. It's not necessarily a bad matchup. It's actually better for the 1-2 down backs than it is through the air for someone like Nyheim Hines. So you kind of want to find out if Wilkins is that guy, because it's now 2 weeks running where he's had more snaps, he's had more touches, and more production. So if Jonathan Taylor's in the doghouse, you don't want to miss your opportunity to grab Jordan Wilkins. And if he's still on the waiver wire, I don't think you even need to spend more than like 10 to 12 on your fab, because that means people still don't believe.
We had a lengthy discussion last week on the Waiver Wire show about Jordan Wilkins. I'm going to let Yates chime in here, and then I will chime in with lengthy thoughts. So go ahead, Yates. Start us off. How do you feel about Wilkins?
Tags, you can be my guest and you can pick up Jordan Wilkins. I'm not going anywhere near him. I have him down at 6. In my running back rankings this week, I really did not want any piece of him last week, and I still feel the same way. He is not an efficient runner, has never been. The matchup against Detroit, we can all sit here and say, well, yeah, it was Detroit, and Jonathan Taylor struggled. I mean, man, this snap count was dead even. Yes, Jonathan Taylor fumbled, but what happens if Frank Reich turns back this week and says, we want to get our second round pick involved again and get him moving like they showed last week? Well, then you wasted money on Jordan Wilkins. I just don't see the upside. Jonathan Taylor is not going away in this backfield. Nyheim Hines is not going away in this backfield. This is going to be an even split among all three of them. If Jordan Wilkins might get the slight edge there, but he's never been a guy who's going to average more than 4 yards per carry, 5 yards per carry, or anything like that that's going to turn into solid fantasy production. So yeah, the matchup this week, it's fine. But yet, I don't want to rely on Jordan Wilkins, so I'll let someone else pick him up.
Can I do an audit on Yates' statements right now and just say they are factually incorrect? So 5.79 yards per carry over his first 2 years in the NFL, 5.6 in 2018, 6.0 in 2019. So Jordan Wilkins has been efficient. He just hasn't been given the role that people want. It's almost like looking back at someone like Raheem Mostert and saying, this guy averages like over 5.5 yards per carry, but if he's not getting touches, it doesn't really matter. If Jordan Wilkins is starting to get those touches, now granted this year, none of the Colts running backs have been efficient. I think Jonathan Taylor actually leads this team with like 3.9 yards per carry,
right,
which is kind of ridiculous. But that's what I'm saying is Wilkins has been efficient in the past. I think Phillip Rivers is actually hurting this offense more than anything. He has no mobility. The teams are loading, they're facing stacked boxes. The offensive line isn't getting the push that we thought that they probably should. But again, if you have a chance to get a starting running back that is slowly overtaking this job with a great schedule coming up, Dan, you and I talked about this on the waiver wire show, on the recap show last night.
Yep.
And that they have probably the best running back schedule for the remainder of the season. So Wilkins, to me, is definitely, I'm not saying you have to grab him and start him. I mean, yeah, sure. You know, JD McKissick might have a higher floor this week, but he's not winning you fantasy titles. If Jordan Wilkins runs with this job and actually gets it and starts getting 15 touches per game safely, he can win you a fantasy title.
Okay. So I guess what I would say is that I fall somewhere in between you guys. Wilkins is my number
two. You're the
two.
Worst, Dan.
It's not fine.
Do whatever
it's not
you
fine.
Want.
No. This is not a shoulder shrug. I promise you. I have strong feelings about this. It's just you literally have pick him up. He could be a league winner. Don't touch him with a 10-foot pole. There is a middle ground that we can walk in and still have an opinion, and I am that middle ground. Here's the bottom line. Here's the bottom line, okay? I think with regard to the Mostert example, this is a guy, Wilkins, who has been on this team for 3 years. So this is not somebody who's bounced around and then finally found the right system and the right spot. They could have, it was Marlon Mack ahead of him, a completely uninspiring back. They could have given him this work before this, and they never did, despite the fact that he did have the great yards per carry. Number two, how many points, and I get that it was against Baltimore and a very good defense, but how many points did they score after they benched Jonathan Taylor? The answer is 3. The offense doesn't work well at all right now, but I think we've talked about this a little bit. When it would work the best, if I were the coach, I would want Jonathan Taylor wearing down that defense, even if it's uninspiring. When I look at it a lot, I would want to give him carries and let him start punishing so that if he gets into a groove, by the time he gets 15 carries, maybe even 20 carries, that defense is like, I don't want to tackle this dude anymore. I'm tired of this. And you do want to keep it away from Phillip Rivers. And I think that the plan coming in here, guys, I could be wrong. Maybe they were just giving that first sort of series to, they gave the first series really to Taylor. Wilkins came in the second series, but then Taylor got the goal line work. It struck me as this was going to be a Taylor game before he fumbled. Do you guys think that was true? I think that were going to, yeah, right? So he fumbled, fine. You're benched after that. It doesn't work. Like, that's fine. I don't think it's you're benched for good. He's not Bruce Arians. I don't think it's going to take a Jordan Wilkins sort of fumble to get out of here. I think they're going to be like, you know what? We've got to go back to Taylor because Wilkins is not going to be the guy. And with the favorable schedule, I think he's got a chance to really do some damage. If he comes out and he fumbles again, or if he gets injured, then I think Wilkins has a lot of value, which is why I am recommending him as a pickup. And I do think that he's worth picking up, even for me, slightly over somebody like McKissick. But I just, it's very difficult for me to see this suddenly being Wilkins as being a guy who I want to throw out there each and every week. And that was why I had Gus Edwards higher than him last week. I don't this week, but I had Gus Edwards higher than him last week because I would have preferred to start Edwards this week, which I did. I ranked him higher. So that's just what I think, Tags. I think it's going to take a Taylor injury pretty much for Wilkins to have the every week value.
Well, so if he does, so here, there's a few scenarios here. So one, let's say that Jonathan Taylor does suffer an injury and Wilkins walks into that role. Suddenly we're looking at a guy that we're going to be ranking as a top 15 running back every single week, because Nyheim Hines has just never been trusted with a big role in the run game. And then there's another avenue here. It's not just a high value handcuff like he would be, but it would also be, what are the chances? There's a non-0% chance that Jordan Wilkins has the starting job right now, because let's not pretend that the fumble was the only thing that Jonathan Taylor's done wrong all season. He hasn't been good all season. He hasn't broken tackles. His vision has been awful. Nick Whalen actually did a really good breakdown on YouTube on Jonathan Taylor and broke down, like, in terms of the areas he's just missing with his vision. It's just not there. The scheme just hasn't worked really well for him. So I'm not going to pretend like Jonathan Taylor hasn't seen more than 12 carries since week 4. So it's not like this is a recent thing for him. They've been slowly moving away from him. That fumble was just the breaking point that said, hey, you're on the bench, dude. Like, we can't have this happen.
Okay, but hold on, Tex. You just agreed. You just agreed that you thought that this was going to be a Jonathan Taylor game.
I do, because it seemed like they wanted to go back. And I agree with you guys. I actually, this week, I will rank Jonathan Taylor ahead of Jordan Wilkins, because I am unwilling to say that it's greater than a 50% chance that Jordan Wilkins has taken this job. But I'm not going to say it's not a possibility. And because of that, that's why I want to take him over someone like JD McKissick, who's more of like a bye-week filler, which is fine. It just, I suppose it just, are you grabbing him for a handcuff? It's Jordan Wilkins. If you're adding a running back to play them this week because you need a running back this week, I would agree with Yates, and that is JD McKissic.
Yeah, and I have both of those guys, to be clear, at 8% for me. So neither one is a guy who I really want to go crazy over. This is neither one is, because I don't really expect, but I agree that Wilkins is more of the long-term play. He has more upside. As the tiebreaker, as much as I said the same percent, I do have Wilkins ranked higher than McKissic for the week, but it is something where I don't see this being something where you feel good about Wilkins absent a Taylor injury. And I think, and I may be reading the situation wrong, I understand benching a rookie who has like a horrible fumble. That's a really bad fumble that he had in that situation. But he did score the touchdown, and it did look like this was going to be a Taylor game, coming out of a game where literally he came off an injury and had a terrible game, and you were like, oh man, this looks terrible. For them then to come into a tough matchup and say, no, we're going to Taylor, that, you know, struck me as something where that shows me that they want him to be the guy. So anyway, we have reached the quota. You know, we have hit our Wilkins quota. All right, well, we'll see you next week when we're also debating Wilkins as a waiver wire pickup. Who's your number two, Yates?
I've got like three guys here that are all situation dependent and all rank the same in Fab.
Yep.
So I have Ryan Nall at 2 right now. I have Matt Breida at 3, and I have Duke Johnson at 4. All of them have questions about their injury status and the people above them. So pick whichever one you want to talk about.
I don't want to talk about any of them. So no, you pick the one you want to talk about. Okay, let's talk about Duke Johnson, actually. Let's do that one first, because Duke Johnson, okay, and again, I'm going to say this. 1 through 4, and I hate to say this, Yates did not even mention who my fourth guy was, which might tell you who he is, because it makes me want to vomit just thinking about it. But number one for me is they're all 8%. They're all 8%. But number one for me is Duke Johnson, just because I do think that this is a situation where it's pretty binary. Like, David Johnson dealing with a concussion, we haven't heard anything. We know David Montgomery is already in the protocol. We haven't heard anything about David Johnson, who I think had just 2 carries yesterday, about 7 snaps.
He had a concussion.
Yeah. Right. He had the concussion. That's what I mean. We haven't heard that he's actually in the protocol right now.
Right.
But if David Johnson misses time, Duke is the one, as he wasn't great yesterday, 16 for 41 on the ground. He did score the touchdown. He did get the 32 yards receiving. But he got all the touches in that backfield. Right. I will have that guy as the guy who I say, you know what, if this is somebody who's out, he's the guy who I actually want and is number one on my waiver wire priority, because I think he's a guy who might be like, oh, good, I'll rank you as a top 15, 16 back this week if you get the touches.
No, with Duke Johnson, I completely agree. I mean, and the more clarity that we get on the situation, I have Ryan Nall a little bit ahead because I know that David Montgomery is in the concussion protocol right now. You know, come later on today, if we get news that David Johnson is going to miss this next game, then I bump up Duke Johnson. Again, I mentioned I have them all at the same Fab. So yeah, from a touch perspective, the ones that, like, Duke Johnson, who else is even in this backfield? Like, it really is only Duke Johnson. So I think that in this matchup too against Cleveland this next week, that you could look at Duke Johnson as a mid-range RB2 with upside if he does find the end zone. So I totally agree. If you need a running back, there are a few options, but they are all situation dependent. We need more clarity right now.
Yep. All right, Tags, what about you? Who are you looking at other than Wilkins and McKissic?
Just the fact that Yates brought up the Chicago Bears running back.
So, okay.
I'm going to say Ryan Nah. Nah. I'm not even putting the L's in there. I'm going to put Ryan Nah.
I give that a 2 out of 10. That was terrible. So Ryan Nall, the reason why I have him up here is because you're looking at, again, people need running backs that are going to get volume.
And Jordan Wilkins is guaranteed just as much volume as Ryan Nall.
No, I'm saying not.
If we knew Montgomery was out this coming week,
I wouldn't play him. I couldn't play Ryan. No. First off, David Montgomery hasn't done anything. This offensive line is terrible. The Vikings are one of 6 teams in the NFL who have allowed 5 or less total touchdowns to running backs. The crazy part is that they've actually faced 31.5 running back touches per game. David Montgomery has scored 2 touchdowns all year, one every, how many touches does he have now? 150. I don't know what he even has right now, but David Montgomery's been terrible. So Ryan Nall, we're going to go to this guy, the guy that basically hasn't gotten a touch because David Montgomery's been so damn good they couldn't play him. I don't have trust in the Bears offense. I don't have trust in the Bears play calling. I don't have trust in anything with the Bears.
I completely agree. Ryan Nall is not going to be anything more than a high-end RB3 in my rankings this week if David Montgomery is out. But when teams need, we're discussing waiver wire pickups for, like, he's in the waiver wire section for a reason. Like, these are guys that you're not necessarily sitting here saying that, yeah, I'm going to pick him up and he's going to be, you know, I'm spending 25% of my fab on Ryan Nall. Like, no, but at the same time, he's going to get touches because you have Artavis Pierce as the only other guy in this backfield. So it's just purely based on volume. I'm not super excited about him, but this is where the running back landscape is right now.
All right. I'm just going to put it out there. This is my favorite podcast of the year. I want it on record. This is it. Sorry to all our guests. I love you all, but this has been my favorite podcast so far of the year. All right. Tags. Yep. Who else then are you looking to pick up if it's not Ryan? Nah. Who are you looking to pick up?
It's the guy that we don't want to talk about.
Go ahead.
It's Kalen Ballage. Once players get away from Adam Gase, something happens to them. They're reborn. They're whatever. And Kalen Ballage has been historically bad. We've talked about it in the podcast before. And honestly, it makes me throw up when I had to rank him this week because I didn't want to put him there. But at the same time, if Justin Jackson's injury is something that's going to keep him out for a couple weeks or even a week, you have Austin Eckler, who they're saying he's going to be out longer than expected. They don't trust Joshua Kelly. But you could tell that because they wanted to play Tremaine Pope over him. And Ballage actually looked solid. You know, Dan, you talked about this. I went back and watched that game. Ballage did look pretty dang good. For a guy that, you know, has like was record efficient bad under Adam Gase. But this is the type of stuff that happens when you leave Adam Gase. You actually have a career. So I guess good for him. And if this continues to be a thing, I will apologize for ragging on him as much as I did. But I mean, he's playing against the Dolphins this week. The Dolphins are not known as a great run defense. So if you're looking for a 1 week fill in, Kalen Ballage is someone who would get touches if you know, Justin Jackson were to miss time.
Yates, I will allow you to counterpoint on Ballage. I do just want to make the public service announcement because we kid and we joke and everything about this. Of course, as I have said many times, anybody playing in the NFL is better at football than we are at anything in our lives could ever be at anything in our lives. And we, of course, respect that. It's all good-natured fun. Yates, with that said, go ahead and take down Kalen Ballage if you'd like.
Here's my counterpoint. You could not pay me to pick up Kalen Ballage.
All right. Somebody on Twitter, please offer Yates $1 to pick up Kalen Ballage. Offer to wire him $1. And let's put that to the test. Okay. Yates, he did produce and he did look decent yesterday. I was watching and it was shocking to me, but he really did look decent yesterday.
I know, but this is better still, than Joshua Kelly. Mean,
and it is clear. I think, Tags, you made the right point. The biggest takeaway is they ain't trusting Joshua Kelly. Like, there's just no trust. Now, Pope could be back next week. Of course, maybe Justin Jackson will be back.
What was that situation with Pope, by the way? Why was he inactive?
It was an injury.
It was an injury. Okay. Yeah.
It just goes to show you, we're worried about Tremaine Pope for Joshua Kelly.
Right. I agree.
Yeah.
Look, the way I rank them, and you guys can just sort of give your very quick fabs off, is I have Duke number one, Wilkins number two, McKissick number three, and Ballage number four, but they're all in the same rough range of roughly about 8%, because I do think for the most part, you can probably get by with starting any one of them next week. Even Wilkins, a guy who I'm not, you know, going crazy over, but still he is getting enough touches where I think, you know, in a soft matchup, you could get by starting him against Tennessee on Thursday. So for me, those guys are all 8%, and they're really the only guys who I am really interested in picking up this week. Give me your fabs on the guys that we've talked about so far. Let's start with Tags, and then let me know if there's any other running back that we haven't talked about that you think is worth a pickup. Otherwise, we'll move to wide receiver after I check with the Yates, of course.
Yeah, Jordan Wilkins, I mean, 10 to 12. If he's still out there, that means the other owners in your league are basically Yates telling you, I dare you to pick him up. So you don't need to spend a whole lot. JD McKissick, I have as 8. Same thing with Kalen Ballage. Those guys are both in the 8 range where you shouldn't break the bank for them. It's just kind of like a 1 week rent a player for you. And then it's like Gus Edwards, that territory where it's like you're down to like 3. So I'm not really excited about that unless we hear that Mark Ingram's going to miss more time, but I'm expecting him to come back. And the matchup they have this week is not particularly a great one against the Patriots. So it's pretty weak waiver wire running back.
How about you, Yates? Give your fab recommendations and then let me know if there's anybody we haven't touched on yet.
Yeah, so McKissick at that 12 to 15%, Ryan Nall at 10, Matt Breida, who we haven't talked about yet, at 10, Duke Johnson at 10, and then Jordan Wilkins at 8, Gus Edwards at 8, Tony Pollard at 8, and then Kalen Ballage at 8. I mean, again, all logic points to, like, you should pick up Kalen Ballage. It's just a gut thing with me. I don't want to pick him up.
Can we very quickly touch on Breida, though, Yates? Because, yeah, of course, he was the guy who everybody went nuts on last week because everybody thought this was going to be the guy. Yay, it's his backfield. You know Jordan Howard is going to rush 10 times for 19 yards and a touchdown. But, you know, Ahmed looked okay. We don't really know Breida's health. Do you expect, if Breida is healthy, that he's going to walk in and kind of dominate the carries in this backfield?
Dominates a relative term, but I think that he'll see the majority of the carries. And if that's the case, then again, he's a starting running back and he's going to get work. So yeah, I think I'm putting him at 3 right now, but it's because I just don't have any clarity on his injury status yet. So hopefully we get some news today or tomorrow before waivers have to run. So, but right now I do think that we still need to be talking about Matt Breida.
Okay. And I will mention Pollard, who you guys talked about briefly, is that, you know, not only does Pollard look like he's running pretty well and Zeke, of course, is banged up, they have a bye coming up this week, so it's not somebody who you're going to be able to play, but it is kind of, I had kind of written him off that high-end handcuff, you know, area. Now, he's not nearly what he once was, but if the quarterback play is at least going to look competent and the offensive line is healthier, then he would certainly be somebody who you could start. So if you have room, Pollard's not a bad stash, and because he's on a bye, you can get him for pretty much nothing. All right, before we move on, guys, the time is now to get yourself some sports memorabilia from Pristine Auction. It ain't all going to work out. All right, sometimes you get a signed Tyreek Hill jersey and your kids don't understand what you're supposed to do with autographed jerseys and instead they wear it during every game. Sometimes you get a signed football and jersey of your favorite player named Jamal Adams and then he gets traded. That's okay. Do you know why? Because it barely costs you anything. Legitimately, thousands and thousands and thousands of auctions going on every single day. Signed jerseys, signed helmets like the Alvin Kamara one we are giving away now, signed cleats, pictures, bobbleheads, cards, whatever you want. And because there are so many daily auctions, the prices are nuts. A Calvin Ridley signed jersey yesterday, $67.57. I'm almost positive it was Yates who bought that. But it's free to register. It's free to browse. It's free to bid. Just go to pristineauction.com. See for yourself. I speak the truth. Pristine auction.com. You want $5 in free credits? Use our code FANTASYBROS in the registration field when you sign up. They'll know we sent you. Again, that's pristineauction.com. Use our code FANTASYBROS. All right, let's get to wide receivers here. Let's start with you, Tag, since we started with Yates on running back. Who's your top wide receiver pickup of the week?
It's Jalen Reagor. He's another guy we talked about last week, and we knew that he was going on a bye week, so some people would probably pass on him just because he was going into that bye and they needed receivers throughout bye weeks or whatever the reason. But knowing that we've seen Travis Fulgham come in and produce the way that he has, I think that we have to pick up Reagor. Fulgham was a guy that was legitimately on multiple practice squads the last couple of years on wide receiver needy teams and didn't have an opportunity. And granted, he's making the most of it, and he's been one of the best fantasy wide receivers in football since he joined the starting lineup, but we can't forget that Jalen Reagor was a guy that they drafted to be that guy, to be the go-to guy, the guy that could help stretch the field for them. He's basically playing in that DeSean Jackson role this offense, so he's not going to get the 10 targets that Travis Fulgham is, but he doesn't need those in order to produce. Fulgham is going to see the top tier cornerbacks in most matchups, whereas, like, you know, this week James Bradbury is going to be covering Travis Fulgham, and that should mean good things for Jalen Reagor. In his first game back from an injury that he came back early from, he saw 6 targets. They gave him 1 carry, so they clearly want to get the ball in his hands. I think it's rare to find a wide receiver that can have his, you know, impact in fantasy football on the waiver wire without an injury at this time of the year. And I understand, Dan, Alshon Jeffrey's coming back and apparently he's been practicing again and
what?
And whatever.
What?
Yeah,
he's all your fab yeah. Alshon Jeffrey right now.
I honestly, like, real talk here, I do not think that Alshon Jeffrey is going to be in the starting lineup for the Eagles even if he is active. I think they're going to be starting Fulgham, they're going to start Reagor on the perimeter, and then they're going to have Greg Ward in the slot. If anything, they would move Reagor into the slot and put Jeffrey in the perimeter, but that's not the role because you don't have the Y. It's like you need the X and the Y. So I don't think Alshon Jeffrey is going to play. So Jalen Reagor the guy.
Yeah, and just to be clear, this is the first week where I am not recommending Alshon Jeffrey as a pickup. I agree, Reagor is my top pickup, and yeah, there and the Giants, Browns, Seahawks for the next couple of weeks, you know, as in his role, he should have some big games here coming up. So I agree, it's rare to find a wide receiver that's just sitting there on the waiver wire that you don't necessarily need an injury in front of him for him to have big value. So Yates, is Reagor your top wide receiver pickup of the week?
He is. Tags and I agree for the first time.
Holy crap.
Amazing. I love it. All right. So me too. The three of us. Crazy dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria. He is still, though, for me, it's still just 10%. Okay. So I'm again, if you pushed it to 15, I wouldn't necessarily argue with you. But Reagor is not only my top wide receiver. He is my top pickup, and it's still just 10% at this point. Again, wide receivers, we're going to talk about a couple other guys. You can get by each week with guys who are just sitting out there. I mean, Danny Amendola was just sitting out there. He gets you by last week. You know, you can find these guys, so don't go crazy with wide receivers. So it's 10% for me. How about you, Tags?
I'm willing to go up to 15 for him if you have to. Like, if you need wide receiver help, like if you're running thin at wide receiver, I'm willing to go up to 15 for him.
Yeah. How about you, Yates?
Yeah, I'm with you, Dan.
Okay. So let's go then to your number two pickup. Let's go to you then, Yates, since Rager was your number one. Who's your number two?
I'm going to go with Curtis Samuel. He's seen his role increase in this offense every single week, and he has been just on fire for fantasy football recently. I mean, you look at his last three games against New Orleans in week 7, the wide receiver 22 on the week, and then in week 8, the wide receiver 6, and week 9 so far, the wide receiver 5. So he has just been on fire. He has scored 4 touchdowns over his last 3 games, and his target totals are 6, 5, and 9 over that time frame. So he is clearly taking over the wide receiver 2 role in this offense. DJ Moore is just plummeting down my rest of season rankings. And so we're looking at a guy now who has a clear role in this offense. It's continuing to grow, and he's producing. So it's a tough matchup here on paper against the Tampa Bay defense, although New Orleans just lit them up. So, but I think that Curtis Samuel absolutely needs to be picked up. And it's crazy. I mean, we've seen him emerge after earlier this season saying, like, I think you can drop Curtis Samuel because Robbie Anderson has emerged and DJ Moore should still be good. No, Curtis Samuel is now the guy who needs to be rostered.
He has caught 38 of his 43 targets this year. Like, awesome. Awesome. And I get that, you know, a lot of them are close to the line, but they involve him in the running game too. He almost always gets a, you know, once they're inside the 15, he gets a carry and sometimes he converts them. How about you, Tags? Is Curtis Samuel your number two?
We agree again. Yeah, I am as the number two. We talked about him on the recap show last night, and he's been getting opportunities. It's not just the targets that Yates talked about. They're giving him carries too. So they're treating him as a slot guy, hybrid guy that they're manufacturing touches for, which is something that NFL teams need to learn from, because this is something you have to do with a player like him. He was miscast in his role last year, being targeted down the field, averaging all those air yards. That's just not who he is. It's the same thing with Henry Ruggs. Ruggs has been used. He's been miscast in that Raiders offense. So I do like Samuel. I don't think he's an every week starter or anything like that. DJ Moore is a guy that I mean, Yates, I'm curious to know where you moved him down to in your rest of season rankings, because you said he's been plummeting, and I he's moved down in mine to where he's in wide receiver 3 territory now, but I'm not all out on DJ Moore though.
I have him at 31 in my rest of season rankings.
Okay, that's about right. I mean, the crazy part coming into this week, DJ Moore was actually on pace for more fantasy points this year than he scored last year.
Really? Well, yeah, he didn't score touchdowns last year.
Correct. He didn't score touchdowns. The receptions are down, but the yardage is up and the touchdowns are obviously up.
So, Yates, do you have Samuel ahead of DJ Moore in your rest of season rankings?
I haven't gotten to that point yet in my rest of season rankings, but the gap is closing.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. The gap is closing is how I feel too. And we are 2 for 2 here, guys, because Samuel, and it's not that surprising. I do think there was a clear 1A and 1B situation here with the waiver wire pickups for wide receivers. So I agree. He is also my number two pickup. I'm at 8% for him. Again, I do have a clear preference for Rager. So if I'm at 10%, I want to kind of make a differentiation. So I'm at 8% for Samuel. Tags, where are you in terms of your budget?
I am at 8 on Samuel as well.
How about you, Yates?
Yep, same range.
All right, here is where my guess is we're going to start disagreeing overall, just because I think that a lot of these guys kind of get it just all together and stuff. I don't have a clear preference, but Tags, who's your number three wide receiver pickup?
My number three wide receiver is Darnell Mooney. You know, I talked to Yates about how I don't want to associate myself with the Bears if I don't have to, but at the same time, we can't pretend that Mooney doesn't have a big role in this offense. He is the number two wide receiver in front of Anthony Miller. He's playing more snaps. He's seen at least 5 targets in each of his last 6 games, including a career high 11 targets last week. They're going into a matchup with the Vikings, who are allowing a league high 2.20 PPR fantasy points per target to wide receivers. That, I mean, their depth chart at cornerback has just been like destroyed. So knowing the Bears can't run the ball, knowing that Ryan Nall is might be the starting running back, or David Montgomery, it doesn't really matter. They're not going to be able to move the ball on the ground against the Vikings. So this is going to be going back through the air. And again, if you're getting those targets against the Vikings, you're going to be worth something. So I do like Darnell Mooney.
Yeah. How about you, Yates? Is he your number three?
No, I've got him down at 7. Okay. I'm a little bit more hesitant to buy into the Bears passing game.
Yeah. All right. So who's your number three then?
Tim Patrick, wide receiver for the Denver Broncos. Consistently just involved in this offense, and you're seeing Drew Lock have to air the ball out quite a bit here. So, and against Las Vegas this next week, it's a pretty good matchup. I mean, Tim Patrick, over his last several games that he's been healthy and in the lineup, has produced. I mean, he's just been getting the job done, and 9 targets last week. So I think that Tim Patrick is in the weekly, like, low-end wide receiver 3, high-end flex play conversation. And if that's the case, then he deserves to be rostered.
How do you feel about Patrick, Tex?
I am at number 4, right behind Darnell Mooney. So I'm not too far off on this one. He's right. Locke has been targeting his wide receivers down the field. His averaged up the target is 10 yards, which no other quarterback in the NFL is over 9.4. So he's throwing the ball down the field. The reason that you have to worry a little bit about Patrick's consistency or sustainability is that Jerry Jeudy is now playing on the perimeter. And this has shut some doors for other wide receivers, because Judy's been targeted 24 times over the last 2 weeks, and he's producing with the targets. And again, I'm sure a lot of people have seen it by now, but Jerry Jeudy, like, his touchdown, the way he made that Falcons cornerback just looks stupid.
Oh, it was beautiful.
These are the little things, the little intricacies that a wide receiver does in his game that separates him from guys like, you know, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, who can't catch a ball, you know, that's thrown like an inch off. But Tim Patrick, definitely someone that I'm keeping an eye on. I don't think that he's like a must add, but I have him at number 4 among wide receivers. I don't feel like it's a great week for the waiver wire in general, and it's very top heavy for me with Rager and Samuel.
Yeah, I think it's a clear 1-2, and then everybody else is kind of in that. Fun fact about that Jerry Jeudy run, my son was watching it. I was showing it so he could see exactly what it looks like to be an elite route runner. And he tried to do it and literally went flying and then started screaming that you're not allowed to run full speed and then just stop. It's not, it doesn't work. Yeah. And I said, yeah, well, you got a long way to go before you're Jerry Jeudy, son. But yeah, all right. So Yates, who else are you looking at then here at wide receivers? Or anybody else who you're willing to pick up?
We're kind of entering the conversation where it's like, if you have space to add these guys, then I'm fine with it. I'm going to stay on brand here, and I'm going to recommend Michael Pittman Jr.
Dude.
Just because I was...
I am at number 5. We are in sync on wide receivers.
What is going on? Michael, I mean, I was a big Michael Pittman Jr. fan coming into this season, and him potentially carving out a huge role in this offense. And now that he is back, fully recovered from injury, I mean, against this matchup, against Baltimore, with Philip Rivers throwing him the ball, he saw 7 targets, reeled in 4 of them for 56 yards. So I think Pittman in this matchup too, like, you look at their schedule, not only just this week against Tennessee, but then Green Bay, that's a fine matchup for opposing wide receivers. But then Tennessee, Houston, Las Vegas, Houston, Pittsburgh, Jacksonville. Like, and that goes all the way up until week 17. So he has a really nice schedule here moving forward for opposing wide receivers. And I think that I think you're going to see Pittman just continue to emerge into this wide receiver 1 role in Indianapolis. T.Y. Hilton, not a thing, has never been a thing this year. And Marcus Johnson still seeing some targets, Zach Pascal, of course, but Pittman is the pure talent. So if I want to swing for the fences here and add a really, really talented wide receiver whose skill set matches up with Phillip Rivers, I will go with Michael Pittman Jr.
Go ahead, Tech.
Sorry. I literally was diving into that Thursday night game earlier today, and I don't know if you've had a chance to see it, but Michael Pittman the last 2 weeks has actually played in the slot about 48% of the time. So they're moving him around the field a little bit.
Yeah,
I love that.
Pittman's a great talent. It's much more about whether or not you want to buy into any piece of this Colts passing game. But I have a number 5 too, just to be clear. Like that is where we are. Tags, anybody we haven't talked about yet? At wide receiver?
Not really. I mean, you're into the territory of guys like Nelson Agholor, Anthony Miller, Danny Amendola, and those are...
Well, let me ask you about Agholor, at least, because, you know, again, he doesn't get an abundance of targets. He did have, you know, 3 targets, 2 catches, 55 yards, and a touchdown. Look, last week we knew was wind central. You know, we basically were going to throw out that game. You throw out that game, he's got a touchdown in his last, you know, 4 straight. Derek Carr looks good. He's getting involved. I mean, I know it's Denver, but he's not somebody who you think fantasy managers should be worried about.
I mean, no, the weird part is that Agholor has now been a top 40 wide receiver in 5 of 8 games this year, and he has seen more than 4 targets one time. That I'm so tired of that offense, like, in terms of, man, I'm frustrated. Bryan Edwards, draft pick, not playing. Henry Ruggs miscast
one snap yesterday
in terms of what he's doing. Darren Waller is a game changer, a tight end. Josh Jacobs is a much better running back than people think he is. I said fantasy wise, and someone asked me about it on Twitter today. They said, what did you mean when you compared Josh Jacobs to David Montgomery? I didn't mean from a talent standpoint. Josh Jacobs is a better running back. It's just all about the offense they're in. It's like he's a slightly juiced up version of David Montgomery in fantasy, not much better because of the offense he plays in. So I'm just tired of relying on Raiders players just because the coaching staff just doesn't realize what they have and how to use those players. And again, Aguilar has been one of the most efficient wide receivers in football this year. It's a shame that he doesn't have a bigger role.
Okay, so let's put some numbers on these guys. Let's go. I mean, unless you have a strong preference, once you're outside of Rager or Samuel, for me, this is like 5% mm-hmm. or less yep. on all these yep. guys, on Patrick, on Pittman Jr., everything. Are you guys there as well, just if you need a filler, essentially?
Correct.
Yep, all of them are in that same range. So yeah, I'm fine with whoever you can get with the 5%.
All right, I'm going to list a couple of other guys here just so we can touch all the boxes, because there are people who are playing in very deep leagues and these guys might not be available. So let me list a couple of other guys that we haven't really talked about and just let me know who your favorite is of these guys and anybody else you want to talk about. We'll start with tags and we'll go to Yates. Let's go to Danny Amendola, who tags you just briefly mentioned, who had a nice game here in this past one. KJ Hamler, who saw a bunch of targets, as did everybody essentially on the Broncos. Anthony Miller, who's getting a little bit more playing time last now. MVS, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, who had, you know, the two touchdown catches, including the bomb on Thursday night. And then it wouldn't be a waiver wire show if we didn't at least, again, mention and discuss the potential fantasy prospects of Alshon Jeffrey, who is out there and is practicing and may return, as you mentioned, tags. But we know you're not that interested. So of those guys, I guess, who would be your favorite? And are you at all interested in multiple?
I mean, Anthony Miller would probably be my favorite. He has had a bigger role over the last couple of weeks, and the Bears are the most pass heavy team in the NFL. Like they've dropped back to yeah. pass, I think, on 66% of their plays. Minnesota is a team that's really struggled against the pass recently. And again, wide receivers, they've allowed tons of performances to those guys. So Anthony Miller would be my choice of those guys. Danny Amendola against Washington. Washington's been so good this year. I don't think people realize just how good yeah. that defense has been, where he's a floor play with Kenny Galladay out, but it's not a mm-hmm. great play. I'd rather take my chances on someone like Anthony Miller, but even KJ Hamler, it's like Drew Lock isn't a guy that throws for 300 yards constantly. So if you have Jerry Jeudy up there, if you have Tim Patrick up there, Hamler's going to be like that guy. It's almost like a Mecole Hardman type thing where you're looking for one big play to pay off. And if it doesn't, he's going to bust.
Yeah. How about you, Yates? Any of those guys that you're looking at?
Miller would be the guy, but again, kind of in that same territory. And for all the points that tags list, I mean, what did Foles throw the ball like yesterday? 52 times every the past several weeks before that, it was like 42, 40, 41. Like it was right in that range every single time. So yeah, I just think there's plenty of opportunity and he's seeing his snap share increase. But this offense, man, I really don't want to invest in it if I can.
All right, except for Ryan Nall, of course.
Ryan Nall, okay, yep. Who 25% you of your fat. Yep.
All right, let's go to quarterback here, Yates. Who are you looking to pick up, if anybody, off the waiver wire this week at the position?
There's actually a couple solid. Again, if it's a waiver wire show and I'm talking about quarterbacks, I'm looking at the guys who are in the streaming conversation, right? Because it's very rare that you're going to find a guy on the waiver wire who suddenly just emerges and you can keep week in and week out. So Baker this week against Houston, assuming that he comes off of the COVID-19 list, obviously that's a huge thing right now. So just continue to monitor that. But with the running game, with Nick Chubb back, with Kareem Hunt against the Houston defense, it should open up a lot of passing lanes here for Baker to be incredibly efficient. So I think you can roll him out in the streaming conversation. And then next would be Drew Lock for me against Las Vegas. But again, not necessarily these guys that I want to rely on week in and week out, but can be streamers.
How about you, Tex?
Yeah, Baker would be number one. You do have to worry because with Nick Chubb coming back, expecting him to come back, I should say. Mm-hmm. The Texans can get punched in the mouth over and over against the run. They don't do anything to stop it. So that's the concern. But so 7 of 8 quarterbacks have totaled at least 17.2 fantasy points against them, including Jake Luton last week. So even though they are allowing a whole bunch of production on the ground, they're still allowing it through the air too. Teams are just scoring points against them at will.
How about Tua, guys? I mean, he looked terrible against the Rams, of course, but he had a pretty decent game in this one, and he added on sort of that, you know, I think it was, 35 yards rushing or something like that. He added on sort of the floor. Chargers aren't a terrible matchup for quarterback. So are you looking at Tua, who could be somebody who, if you have to get by this week, you can, but you can also potentially look for him later in the year? What about you, Yates? Tua's not for you?
He's in that same streaming range, but he's at 4 for me. I would actually this week, if I'm looking for a streamer this week, I mean, Baker and Drew Lock, of course, would be above there. And I actually might be looking at Nick Foles against the Vikings secondary.
All right. That's fair. And for you, Tags, you don't think any long-term appeal here with Tua?
No, I don't, unfortunately. This is not a team that's going to throw the ball a whole bunch. The offensive line's terrible. Preston Williams is hurt now. So Devontae Parker is really the only wide receiver he has.
Okay, let's get to tight end then. Tags, who is your top tight end pickup of the week? And I bet I know the answer to this one.
Take a guess at Austin Hooper.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank goodness. Okay, good. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I mean, he was forced to miss the last two games with his appendectomy, but had his bye, so he should be perfect. His target share has gone from 5% in week one, and then all of a sudden it went 17, 17, 23, 27, 21. That's fantastic.
Yep.
If you look at the Colts team altogether, the tight ends, if you were to combine Jack Doyle, Trey Burton, and Mo Alie-Cox together, all of them have combined for a 21.8% target share, which goes to show you just how much of a target share Austin Hooper was getting. And again, that was with Odell Beckham in the lineup. So now a matchup going against the Texans, who have allowed, I think it's like a 75% catch rate to tight ends right now, almost 8 yards per target. I think Hooper should be considered a solid streamer this week, and maybe some guy, maybe somebody that you can play every week. I mean, tight end is a very, very bad position right now. So that's probably go.
Clear cut number one for me as well. How about you, Yates?
Yep. Same here. Yeah. I think he's more than a streamer. I think that, with him back in the lineup with OBJ out, I think you can rely on him as a low-end tight end one every single week.
Yep, I agree. All right, so who's number two then, Yates, other, you know, after Hooper for you?
He didn't do well this past week, Thursday Night Football, but Jordan Reed coming back off of his injury, there is a clear role for him on this team with George Kittle out for most likely the entire year. And then, of course, with Brandon Ayuk and Debo Samuel, there's just a ton of unknown, and right now the 49ers just need pass catchers. So Jordan Reed, he's shown that when he's healthy and when he's in the lineup that he can produce. So I think that if you are looking for an option this week, I think you can roll with Jordan Reed.
How about you, Tags? Who's number two for you?
I have Jimmy Graham, actually, number two against the Vikings. Yeah. Again, I expect the Bears to throw the ball a lot in this game. They don't have a run game right now. The Vikings have been a funnel defense. You throw the ball against them. They have allowed a league-high 10.5 yards per target against them. So that's always nice. And Trey Burton can be considered, now that we know that Jack Doyle is in the concussion protocol, not going to play against Tennessee. That's a team that has allowed, I think, 6 of 8 tight ends to score at least 9 PPR points against them. So Trey Burton should come with a better floor than usual in that game. But yeah, Jimmy Graham, Trey Burton, those guys are right there behind him.
Yeah, that's basically what I have. I have Hooper number one, Graham two, Burton three, Reed four. But there's not a huge difference once you get
no past Logan Hooper. Thomas.
Logan Thomas is five. Sorry. Logan Thomas. There's no Logan Thomas. There's no Alshon Jeffrey. This is my nightmare, as you guys know. Okay. All right. Let's get then to our top five overall waiver wire pickups. Start with you, Yates. Go 1 through 5 overall.
Yeah, so J.D. McKissick, again, a little bit higher on him than you guys are at 1. Jalen Reagor at 2. Curtis Samuel at 3. Tim Patrick at 4. And then Ryan Nall, Matt Breida, Duke Johnson all at 5.
All right, everybody's right there. How about you, Tags, 1 through 5?
I have Jalen Reagor number 1, Jordan Wilkins 2, Curtis Samuel 3, J.D. McKissick 4. And then 5, either Austin Hooper or Kalen Ballage, one of those guys.
All right. So I have a 1, and then I have a 2 through 10 pretty much. Yeah. But my 1 is Jalen Reagor. My 2 is Duke Johnson. Again, I think he has the most upside if indeed something, you know, David Johnson can't get back after his concussion. Then Jordan Wilkins, Curtis Samuel, and number 5 is J.D. McKissick. So we're all in the same general range of who we're looking to pick up this week, which is a nice change from what we usually have. Top QB and DST streamers. Again, we basically talked about the top QB streamers, right? This is essentially what we're looking at when we're picking up Baker Mayfield, if we can, assuming he's fine, or potentially Drew Lock, and if you're really desperate, Nick Foles. Anybody else you guys want to talk about as a streamer this week?
Nah. Nope.
Wonderful. DST, who are you picking up here, Tags? Let's go with somebody who's under, you know, if you can, under 40% rostered in at least Yahoo Leagues or wherever. Who are you looking to pick
up? Yeah, considering the Eagles were on their bye last week, a lot of people dropped them. They're playing the Giants this week. The Giants, Daniel Jones has been sacked 28 times through 9 games. He's been sacked 3 or more times in 6 of those games, including against the Eagles in week 7, when they also forced 3 turnovers. So when the Jets opponent isn't available because the Jets are on a bye, you kind of have to go with the Giants to the other side of New York and play the Eagles.
All right, Yates, how about you?
Yeah, Eagles, obviously, if they're there. The other one that I'll point out is the Green Bay Packers up against Jake Luton. I mean, Jake Luton looked great, but yet now teams have a game, you know, a game of film on him in the NFL to work off of. And I don't think that Jake Luton, again, he looked great, but it was against Houston. And so we have to take that with a grain of salt. So it's still a rookie quarterback, a 6th-round pick. I think Green Bay can force a couple of turnovers.
Yeah, going into Lambeau with the Green Bay defense rested, I agree. If there's a widely available one, that's certainly it. Philadelphia would be my preference, but if there's one who's, you know, rostered in fewer than 40%, 30%, that's my choice as well. All right, guys, let's finish up, as we always do, with drop or keep. Fringe guys, you tell me whether or not you are willing to part with them or whether you want to keep them on your roster. I will start with you, Yates. Drop or keep Le'Veon Bell?
You keep him because of his upside if something were to happen to CEH, but I don't think that you can plug him into your lineup comfortably week in and week out.
I asked you last night, tags, but you're a keep on this one, right? Mm-hmm,
correct.
Yeah. I don't think you can start Le'Veon Bell at all. I think he's just a really, really high-end handcuff. But, man, they do not like giving running back. They can't run the ball, right, as you said last night, tags. So, yeah, it's gross. Tags, drop or keep. We talked about it last night. Marquise Brown.
You keep. Ideally, you trade him because, again, he's still every single week, he's still being ranked as a top 25 wide receiver by the analysts. And I don't really understand it, but he is, so you kind of got to take advantage of that and sell.
Yeah, it's drop or keep Marquise Brown.
I'm right with tags there. If you can trade him, which I think you can because the industry has just been higher on him than they should be. So if you can trade him, great. If not, keep him.
I don't think you're going to be able to trade Marquise Brown anymore, guys. I think this is the end. I think people are now going to be like, all right, this is ridiculous at this point with the Baltimore offense and the passing game is just not working. If you can, I agree. Go ahead. And yes, I'm with you. I would also keep reluctantly, even though I don't know if I'm ever going to feel confident in starting Marquise Brown in my lineup. Yates, drop or keep Devin Singletary?
You can drop him.
Tags.
You can drop him. It just depends on who you're dropping him for.
Yeah. I would
drop him for J.D. McKissick.
Okay. Tags, would you drop him for Jordan Wilkins?
I'm pretty close to that, actually. Like, yeah. Wilkins, if it's just a bench stash, probably, yeah. If it's for, like, a week-to-week basis, I'd probably say Singletary still. But Singletary still has his bye coming up in week 11. So, I mean, right. I guess you can drop him for, yeah.
Tags, drop, or keep Zach Moss?
Keep, sell.
Yates?
Keep.
Yep, I'm keeping two. Yates, drop, or keep Darius Slayton?
I think you have to keep him, but I'm not looking to play him.
Tags.
Yeah, he's kind of like who's available. Like would I laugh at someone if they dropped him for Curtis Samuel? No.
You're dropping him for Jalen Reagor?
It's a very close conversation. I want to see at least one more game out of Reagor in terms of how they're going to use them in the offense. But I think it's fair to say that Slayton should be dropped into that tier, though.
Yeah, I'm holding Slayton. Realistically, I know he had a terrible game in this one, but again, the week before, he could have had a monstrous game, just an absolute monstrous game, had Jones just looked up once or twice. So I am holding Darius Slayton. Tags, drop or keep Jared Cook?
I mean, keep. I stream tight ends if I'm in a league where I don't have one of the top guys, and it's gross. It's really gross out there. I mean, I don't like Jared Cook, but I have him at 12 among tight ends, so what does that really say?
Right. How about you, Yates?
I haven't gotten back into this game. Did Jared Cook get benched?
I don't think so.
I don't think so, no.
I also tuned out like halfway through the third quarter because the game sucked.
I was riveted the entire time.
I think he had that fumble, and then we saw Troutman score. So yeah. That's why I was asking. So if Jared Cook, I need to go back in and dive into that game. I'll still.
No, he definitely was in it. He definitely was in the game after that because I remember he dropped. Like a bad, I mean, I don't know if it was a drop or he got hit while he did it because Collinsworth was actually talking about it.
That's right.
So he definitely played after that, but
yeah. So I think, yeah, he's in that streaming tight end conversation. Not super excited to roster him, but yet it depends on who else is available.
Yeah, I would probably keep Jared Cook, but it is something where if somebody dropped him, like if you can pick up Austin Hooper and for Jared Cook, I'd be okay with that. I'm not sure I'd make that swap, but that's basically where he is. He's somebody who I drop. If there were an option like Austin Hooper there to get. Yates, drop or keep Robert Tonyan?
It's kind of the same conversation with Jared Cook. I have him just slightly above that. With Alan Lazard most likely coming back into the lineup, I think that hurts Tonyan, but he's still in that low-end tight end one, high-end tight end two conversation. So I would drop him for Austin Hooper, though.
Mm-hmm. Tax.
I would drop him for Hooper and Jimmy Graham. I think Tonyan has actually a really good matchup this week, but he's had some good matchups recently and hasn't done anything. And honestly, if you were to take away that one game against Atlanta, That was 42% of his production this year. Mm-hmm. 42% in one game. So if you remove that, it's kind of gross. So you can drop him.
Tags, drop or keep Ronald Jones.
Keep, I guess. He was still the starter.
Yeah. How many rush attempts did they have yesterday?
Like two.
Five total.
Five, I think.
And okay. Brady had one of them.
Yeah. Yates, drop or keep the starting running back, apparently, for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
You keep him, but man, yeah, this is just an absolute mess.
Here's the only thing I'm going to say. We are in week 10 of the NFL season. I think I said almost the exact same thing last year. The time for feeling like we are forced to keep players who you're almost never going to start, but you're just like, yep, I can't really drop this player. We're almost at the end of that point. We're probably not there yet. Like, you're probably keeping Ronald Jones again this week. But I think once you get to week 11, which, by the way, it's going to help you, the fact that half your league is just going to tune out anyway. So you're not, there's not going to be that much competition over players. It might be time to just say, like, man, I'm not stacking my bench right now with guys who I'm like, man, this guy's good. I probably should hold him, but there's no way I can start him right now. But for right now, I agree, Jones is certainly a hold, if for no other reason than if something happened on Leonard Fournette, he would be much more valuable. Yates, drop or keep Justin Jackson?
You keep him. I need to know more information on his injury before I make a rash decision like that.
Agreed.
I agree as well. Finally, tags, drop or keep Corey Davis?
Keep. Hey, we knew it was going to be a bad game against the Bears.
Yates?
Keep him. I said going into this game that this was a test. If Corey Davis could come out and, you know, produce low and wide receiver three numbers or higher, then he was in the circle of trust. And we, you know, consistently just put him into our lineup, but that didn't happen. And so I still think you keep him, but he's now a matchup dependent play.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was interesting because your whole argument looked like it was going to be a drop where you were like, this was the test. Could he come through? Could we trust him? And he failed. So I'm keeping him. So, but I like your style. Yeah, it threw me off. Okay. That's it for our Waiver Wire show. This was a ton of fun. As you know, now I've said it, it's on record as my favorite show of the year. We will be back. Yates and I will be back, of course, tomorrow, talking about rest of season rankings and trades and all that good stuff. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/fantasypros. We'll be doing live streams and videos as we do each week. Thanks to Pristine Auction. Do not just take my word for it, guys. Go to pristineauction.com. Thousands of auctions every single day. pristineauction.com, P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E, auction.com. Enjoy the rest of your day, everyone. I will talk to you tomorrow. Take it easy.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without fingersticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.